Well, if you're in your 30s or 40s or older, I'm guessing this will sound familiar to you. It's summer. You're out all day riding your bike. You're swimming. You're playing with friends and exploring your neighborhood and beyond. When you're a kid, you get called in for dinner. You eat as fast as you can, and you run back out to play some more. But amazing as it may seem, that's far from reality today. In fact, young people's fitness declines now during the summer, if you can believe it. We're going to find out why, and more importantly, what we can do to turn that around with a couple of guests. With me by phone today, Randy Clark, who is a clinical exercise physiologist. He manages the UW Health Exercise Science Laboratory and pediatrics fitness clinics. And Randy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Larry. I love that introduction. I can't wait to hear the rest of this show.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, the rest of the introduction is Dr. Aaron Carroll, who is a professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin Children's Hospital, specializes in pediatric endocrinology, diabetes, and fitness. Dr. Carroll, great to have you with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
You may have some questions for our guest today. I'm wondering what, do you struggle to get your kids active in the summer, or maybe the grandkids? What do you see as the biggest hurdles? Are you concerned about your child's weight and health? Well, Dr. Carroll and Randy Clark are happy to help you strategize a little bit here or answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page as well, at the Larry Mueller Show, and certainly we would love to hear from you. Dr. Carroll, for a lot of us, it's hard to imagine that kids today are less active in the summer than they are during the school year. That certainly was not the case a few decades ago.
No, I think you're right. And this continues to be a problem on a couple levels. One, I think one, as you stated, people don't always recognize this. But two, we're seeing more and more increases with childhood obesity every year. And I think this a level of activity is a really important thing to focus on that can really improve children's health.
Yeah, is this true in sort of all age groups of kids, or?
Well, this has been shown many times now, and Randy and I can attest to going back, 7 or 8 years ago, starting with some studies in Stoughton and then in Madison, working with a couple of the schools, we monitored children's fitness over the course of a couple school years, and we were surprised to find that the fitness levels actually dropped over the summer. So this was confirmed by lots of other studies that looked at national trends. So I think this is something that's been shown for various age groups of children, but definitely true for elementary school and middle school.
Yeah. Randy, what do you think are the biggest obstacles to kids being active in summer?
Well, you know, I love the way you started, because I think most adults out there can relate to the long, happy, fun days of summer. Constant frolic. I can remember being outside pretty much all day long, capture the flag, kick the can, wiffle ball. We played wiffle ball by the hours. And I remember sitting at the dinner table, just couldn't wait to get up and get back out there. But the situation has changed, and I think it's hard for a lot of adults to really get their arms around that. Until they heard that fitness level decreased in the summer, all of a sudden they went, wow, this problem is real, and this problem is frightening. So there are a lot of different obstacles. You know, this is a health problem that affects more Wisconsin kids than anything else. We've created this toxic environment now that involves a lot of screen time, a lot of sedentary time. What I called fun back in my day is a little bit different than what kids call fun now. And so I think we're responsible for reversing that toxic environment and trying to put the fun back into activity.
Yeah. My daughter, I have a soon-to-be 10-year-old, and she's at camp this week. And at camp, no electronics are allowed, including phones. So,
well, you're talking to a longtime camp counselor here, and we had the same situation, which is very good for those kids. They get to learn about their environment. They get to learn about their bodies. They get to see a whole different side of the world that they're not used to.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Rick in Bellevue has a comment or question. Hi, Rick. Thank you for calling.
Great show again, as usual, Larry.
Thank you.
I have an odd situation. I have a 10-year-old son. He's 5'3", 125 pounds. So he's off both ends of the chart, height and weight. He had a physical for sports, and the doctor recommended he lose about 20 pounds. He plays in rec league basketball, rec league football, flag football. We have a pool he swims in every day. He's very, very picky eater. We're trying to minimize the carbs because we feel like that might be part of the problem, but I'm wondering if there's something you guys could suggest to help out.
Wow.
Well, Aaron, you want me to tackle that one?
Go ahead.
I have almost the identical thing at home. I have a 10-year-old who's very active, and one of the things you have to be a little bit careful of, it sounds like if this child is active and involved in those sports, that if a large percentage of that body weight is muscle mass, his body mass index will show that he might be in a category that's not correct for him. Would you say that he is a fairly muscular child?
He's very broad shouldered. You know, he's, I mean, at 10 years old, he's 5'3", and so he's just big. He's got a little bit of a belly, but it's not, you know, it's not ripples or anything like that. He's just big.
Well, I think you just need to be, one of the things that we do in our pediatric fitness clinic, which is really a luxury, is we actually measure their body composition. So we can determine how much of their body weight is bone, how much of their body weight is muscle, and how much of their body weight is fat. And then we don't make a comparison to anybody else, but we do track change in them over time. And that gives us a much better handle on exactly what is the makeup of their body.
Sure.
Because weight from a scale tells you very little, to be honest with you. And
right.
Changes in that weight, you don't know what that change is. Is it water weight? Is it muscle? Is it fat? And so for the kids who come to our pediatric fitness clinic, we track that very carefully. That's one of the most important variables that we watch, as well as their cardiovascular fitness. So without having that luxury of testing him or seeing him, it's a little bit hard to say, but you know, anything that you can do to keep him moving, keep that cardiovascular fitness up, keep him burning those calories is a good thing.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much for the information. Appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I was thinking about my daughter. Our daughter is thin, but she plays on two basketball teams, and she plays soccer on a soccer team, and she's and taking tennis lessons and golf lessons and swim. So,
well, I would jump in there, Larry, and sort of say you're taking an active approach, just like the call we heard. You know, this is a parent who's really trying to help facilitate and promote activity. And so much about this, when I think about this, is really about health, you know, not just weight, but the more we're really helping kids be active, I think that really helps improve our overall fitness and really our health. One of the things, you know, when you think about these activities that we're encouraging, I think that really ties right back in with the summer topic that we're talking about. For a lot of kids, really, physical activity is sort of been scheduled out of their daily schedule, you know, with school and gym and having gym every couple days or every day, depending on the schools. It's really a scheduled event. And I think sometimes we hit summer break and it feels like I don't have to do anything. And sometimes that's where parents can really step in and kind of help promote activity.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to do. I'm really pleased, at least in our neighborhood, that we have a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, and there's we sit on our front porch sometimes in the evening and watch the kids racing around playing hide and go seek, sort of. I forget what they call it. They have a different name for it, but there's a lot of screaming and running, and it's just a good feeling to watch that happen.
Well, and that sort of touches upon another important thing is, you know, if it's something fun, they're going to do it. If we're sitting there as parents or doctors or whoever, you know, just telling kids to do something is not really going to always help. So sometimes we either want to get their friends involved to make it fun or really be a role model. You know, we can get out there and do things too. I think as much as kids say they don't want to be with us, I think sometimes it really is a positive reinforcement to have friends or parents.
Yeah.
And Larry, just to pick up on your front porch analogy, which is like a community of the past, if you may recall, you know, you could see the kids. It was a safe environment. Porches were on the front. Everybody could see what was going on. Now if you think about a lot of new developments, what do you see? You see the garage.
Yeah.
And the environment is built for the automobile. And we have developed communities that are less friendly for public activity. And one of the most amazing conversations I've had with parents in our clinic is those that tell me, I don't want my child outside. It's not safe out there. And I just about fell off my chair when I heard that, because that was so different than the world I grew up in.
Nick in Green Bay has a question for you guys. Hello, Nick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Actually, my comment is I just got a metal detector recently. So I ask the kids if they want to go to the park, because I want to go metal detecting. So they're happy, and I'm happy, and everybody's happy.
So they go and play and run around while you're looking for metal.
What's that? I'm sorry.
And so they're out having fun at the park while you're looking around with a metal detector.
Yeah, I'm relaxing, yeah.
Sounds like a plan, Nick. Thanks for calling. And Kiara in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. Just as I was put on the phone to listen to the radio program, I did hear one of your guests talking about a topic that I wanted to bring up, which was that, you know, certainly when I was a kid, and probably most of the people who are listening and calling in, kids were let outside from their homes and allowed to, you know, within a certain parameter, just go outside and play in the neighborhood. And I really don't think that a lot of people feel that they can do that with their kids now. And another important part of the discussion, I think, is that there's mention of camps, sporting activity camps, or leagues that kids can participate in. And I think it's also just important to remember that not all families can afford those activities for their kids. So maybe some tips on how, you know, families who might not be able to participate in those activities can also work to help keep their kids fit and active.
Okay, those are all very good comments, Akira. Thanks, and let's get some comments from Dr. Carol first.
Sure. So I think it's a great question, and I think this is, to some degree, you know, everyone's sort of frustration. How do I really, you know, implement this or make a change for me or my family? So, you know, I don't think there's any one answer here. And I think trying to figure out things that you and your child or children like to do are really the most important thing. Because I think making this fun is really what's going to get this to continue and to really have an impact on their overall health. So, you know, we've alluded to this getting outside or discovering your backyard. Rather than feeling like you have to send your kids out there, maybe there's something we can do together, or kids can choose an activity buddy, you know, someone they team up with every day to kind of do something active. Another way of trying to help encourage outdoors, I think, is sometimes to make kids earn some sedentary time. So if they are more likely to want to sit at the computer or sit at TV, maybe they have to get outside for 60 minutes with you or a friend before they can get to that computer.
And we can talk some more certainly about that, and we will. Kiara, thanks a lot for calling. Randy Clark and Dr. Aaron Carroll, our guests, they'll be with us right up until 12:30. News next here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be right back. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You'd think that in the summer, kids have a lot more time to be outdoors and active, but the opportunity's there, but it's not going on. We're taking a look today at how we as adults can encourage our youngsters to get outside, and maybe for us to set some good examples for fitness and health. Dr. Aaron Carroll, professor of pediatrics at the UW Children's Hospital, specializing in pediatric endocrinology, diabetes, and fitness. And Dr. Carroll, thanks again for spending time with us today.
It's great to be here.
Also with us today, Randy Clark, with us by phone, clinical exercise physiologist, manager of the UW Health Exercise Science Laboratory and Pediatric Fitness Clinic. And Randy, good to have you here today as well.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. If you would like to join in, I'd love to hear your experiences. What do you do to get your kids active? Or do you do anything? You have some questions about how to do a better job of that? Are you worried about your child's weight and health? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there right at the Larry Mueller Show, and we'd love to hear from you. And so just before our break at noon, Dr. Carroll, you were talking about, a caller said, you know, not everybody can afford to do, you know, the leagues and mm-hmm. and the camps and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think cost, you know, is an issue, but it really doesn't always have to be an issue. I think, you know, living in Wisconsin, we have a lot of great resources and opportunities that are really no cost or fairly low cost. One of the things that I'm pretty familiar with is around Madison and Dane County is the parks. The park system have a great set of opportunities that they're really promoting in terms of ways to be active. I know they've even started a walk with a doc program, and it's been a pretty popular thing. But really, the parks programs themselves are really encouraging people to get out to the parks and use the parks, and I think that's a great step for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And Randy, comment from you?
Well, I think it's very important to realize that competitive sports are definitely not for everybody. I mean, not everyone wants to play Little League or competitive soccer, and we don't want to push kids in that direction if it's not fun for them. And sometimes we have to keep searching. You know, we have to keep looking for the fun and finding activities. I think of one young man that we had in our pediatric fitness clinic that we kept trying and trying, and finally he discovered Ultimate Frisbee. And Ultimate Frisbee literally changed this young man's life. And so as parents, I think Dr. Carroll's right. We need to be role models ourselves and make activity and fun activity part of our life and just keep trying. Keep looking for things that really is something that your child is drawn to.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello there. I just wanted to make a quick comment that one of the best decisions I've made in Madison here as a homeowner is to change my values. And rather than a pretty lawn to look at in my backyard, I've dedicated about 30 square feet or so to a digging area for my twin 7-year-olds. And they have a blast. They've had a digging club in the back. They soak up to their waist in mud pits. So it's just, I think, oftentimes a matter of our values and what we consider to be normal or really in the best interest of our kids. So subsequently, my own sons spend a lot of time out of doors just because I don't have to think about them getting dirty. Well, I do, but I don't have to think about them getting in the way of the plants or the lawn because I remember what's important. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much for calling. Dr. Carroll, comment?
Well, no, I love hearing these stories. And I think, you know, Gary brings up a great point about how, you know, we can create our own family culture. Just because, you know, everyone else does something or doesn't do something doesn't mean we can't sort of buck the system. And I also think he was reminding me of how I know a lot of families at our pediatric fitness clinic who will use chores around the house. Maybe digging a pit isn't everyone's chore, but a chore around the house to turn it into a physical activity or being active and try to make it a little more fun than just a list of chores. But it really does have something good in it for everybody. And it's another way of creating your own sort of family culture.
Yeah, Andy. Randy, any comment?
Well, I love that. That's the first time I've heard that one. That's a great one. And, you know, as parents, again, we just need to provide that safe and fun environment. I was just at a house the other day. I was amazed because the entire backyard was a wiffle ball diamond, complete with mowed grass like a big league infield and lines painted.
Oh, wow.
And the kids were just drawn to that, and there were constant kids playing wiffle ball in that backyard. So whether it's wiffle ball, ultimate frisbee, playing in the mud, metal detector, it's whatever works and whatever the kids enjoy doing.
Gertrude in West Bend, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I both grew up in Milwaukee, right in the city. And we went to the playgrounds, not the parks. Well, we went to parks, too. But the playgrounds had playground leaders. And when I was 20, I became one. But I think playground leaders didn't have to even, they just had to be over 16. And these young people who would give out balls, and I know when I was one, I conducted kickball games every night at a Southside school ground, and the whole neighborhood was excited about those kickball games. Are the social centers still open, and are there any playground leaders? Those are wonderful ways to get city kids out. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Dr. Carroll?
Yeah, you know, I'm not aware if this is true everywhere, but I definitely know in the Madison area and the Madison parks, they do have mostly teenage, young students leading activities at the parks, really as a way to get kids out through the parks through the MSCR and other programs. And I think, you know, Wisconsin has lots of resources that really are there to be discovered. So I think that's a great example.
Yeah, thank you again for calling. Ron in Eau Claire, we turn to you next. Hi, Ron.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, going back to the old Greco-Roman educational tradition of a sound mind in a strong body seems to make a lot of sense. Now, we know that as far as the minds and the mental education of Wisconsinites and Americans in general continues to fall behind the rest of the developed world. And now we're hearing that the body is not so strong. In fact, we've been the most obese. Mexico just surpassed us this year, but before that we were the most obese, not so well conditioned, and not getting as well educated as we should. The 900-pound gorilla in this room seems to be, you've got another good argument for year-round education.
Huh?
Year-round education. Stronger bodies and sounder minds.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'll chime in there.
Randy, go ahead, yeah.
It's a perfect lead-in for me. I'm a former physical education teacher and coach, turned exercise physiologist. And so, obviously, I was a believer in this from a very, very early age. I've had the luxury of working with the University of Wisconsin athletes for the last 25 years, doing their testing, helping them improve their performance. And now my career has really come full circle as an educator to, you know, use some of the same tools, some of the same things that we do with athletes on these kids. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun working with collegiate athletes towards national championships. But with these kids, we can change a life. And that is very rewarding. And so I think there's a balance here somewhere in between. And I don't know if year-round education is the answer, but I think year-round activity is. And we started this conversation with the concern about activity level dropping off in the summer. And I think we have to realize that we live in an area with seasons, and we have to plan accordingly so that we can find things that these kids enjoy doing, you know, all year round, and so that we make movement fun, we make activity part of their education starting at home all year round.
Yeah, go, Dr. Carroll?
Well, the other thing, I think this is an interesting point, and the idea about year-round education is a good question, but I think, like Randy talked about, you know, this year-round activity is really important. But one thing that our pediatric fitness clinic has been doing is we've been working with the Department of Public Instruction, so with the state education department, you know, looking at the role of fitness and promoting fitness and physical activity through schools across the entire state. And we've been able to find that really activity levels can be modified. And one of the things we really would like to look at is whether or not school performance is actually improved as physical activities improve. So really kind of starting to get a little bit of information about this idea about how fitness really improves with education or not. So I think that's an interesting point.
We had an email from Joelle, just as parents, it's easy to get frustrated when the kids want to sit around playing computer games all day. Other ideas for positive ways to talk about getting out and getting active?
Well, one of the things that we've experienced is trying to find the hook, and this is definitely the video generation. If this person spends a lot of time in front of a screen, enjoys video games, one of the sort of what we call a gateway exercise in our clinic is we use some of the video exer gaming equipment. We call it exer gaming because it combines exercise with the gaming. And there are a number of them out there. The Dance Dance Revolution is very popular with the kids. There's a number of Xbox games that involve physical activity. Wii games. There are computerized bikes that you're actually riding the bike inside a video game. So, you know, I give the gamers credit that they're trying to involve activity with the game. And for some of the kids in clinic, this is the first time they've ever really enjoyed movement because they're doing what they love, and they don't realize that they're being active while they do it. So for some kids, that's a nice starting point.
Yeah. Gwendolyn emailed us, and here's another important one, too. I think my 14-year-old daughter is overweight. We really want to help her get more active, but she's very self-conscious about it because of her weight. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, no, Larry, I think this is a really important point. And one of the things I think in our pediatric fitness clinic that we really try to emphasize to the kids we meet them, but also with their families, is this is really about their health. It's not about a weight. It's not about telling someone they're doing something wrong. The last thing we want to do is make someone feel worse about something. So, you know, and Randy sort of talked about finding that hook. So as we try to sort of, in some ways, sort of refocus that we're really sort of talking about someone's health. You know, we try to sometimes in some ways find a hook, or what are they interested in? You know, I think most kids don't really want to go to the doctor. They don't especially want to go to the doctor to talk about their weight. But I think when we start talking about activity rather than exercise and strength and looking at muscle and things like that in their body, it starts to change how we think about this. And so we really look for something that they might be interested in, as opposed to a list of things we are interested in for them.
We have a great idea here to share from a Facebook comment from Crystal. She says, a summer rule at my house is no screen time, TV, computer, phone, etc., from 9 to 9. So if my daughter wants to play video games or watch TV, she sets her alarm to wake up early. We also do a variety of family activities, a bocce ball, which is a lot of fun. Actually, I like bocce ball, bike rides, hikes, and strolls through the neighborhood. Randy, all sounds good.
All sounds great. And, you know, I think people would be alarmed if they knew the amount of screen time that kids have today. You know, it depends who you read, but from on the low end, the average child or adolescent spends 6.5 hours a day using various, you know, forms of media, TV, computers, internet, Game Boys, cell phones, and as high as 8 hours a day. Now, that's outside of work. I mean, some of us sit in front of computers for a number of hours, but these are kids that are doing it for their entertainment, and most of that is sedentary time. So the idea of earning screen time is something that we see more and more parents doing, where it's something special. It's not just assumed. You don't just get up in the morning and plop yourself in front of the television for the day. So screen time is a very big issue and a big contributor to the increased sedentary leisure time we see in our kids.
You guys have done a fair amount of research, as you were talking about earlier. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that, the research that you have done. One of the things that you've considered is that kids may not be as skilled at finding spontaneous ways to stay active.
That's a good point. And a lot of our research is really sort of geared at the whole area of preventing things like diabetes, the type 2 diabetes, you know, that is usually predisposed to kids or adults with low levels of activity and or increased body weight. So you're right. Trying to get kids more active is really important. And so we've looked at ways to not only measure how active kids are, but also trying to sort of promote activities that really increase activity levels. And I think this gets back to a lot of the issues we've been talking about this afternoon, whether families promote it or schools promote it or peers promote it. Somehow we need to find some way of encouraging or scheduling activity into our day, or a lot of us tend to start moving towards a sedentary behavior. One question I'll ask a lot of kids or families, really just to get them to think about this, is I'll imagine a balance and ask them to kind of weigh which is a lot more time, the amount of time they spend being active during the day or the amount of time they spend being inactive. And to try to see if they can personally kind of shift that balance a little bit to a little bit more equal. So I think that's something that we're trying to work on.
Yeah. Jackie in Milwaukee would like to hear more about how parents can model good fitness behavior. And we might even add other adults as well, aunts and uncles and grandparents, even neighbors. Randy, you want to start with that?
Yeah, you bet. This is something that I feel very strongly about. I don't think there's a greater influence in these children's lives than their parents in many different ways. If you think about the old adage that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I think that's very, very true, particularly in the area of activity. If you as a family have fun together while being active, it just becomes part of their lifestyle. And we really make an effort to try to do active things, take bike rides together, go swimming together, walk the dog together, go to the park together, throw the football, throw the frisbee, do those things as a family, because for me, that's bonding time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the best time of the day for me. I get to be with my kids. We have conversations that we never would have otherwise. We're moving around. We don't even realize we're doing it. And I find that incredibly enjoyable. So I think parents just need to remember that they are a hugely significant influence in a child's life. If the parent smokes, the child will probably smoke. If the parent swears, the child will probably swear. If the parent is active, the child will more than likely be active. So I think we just have to remember the position we hold in that young person's life.
Yeah, and Randy brings up a great point about how important parental role models can be. I think this has been shown as well in nice scientific literature that looks at if one person in a family starts to be more active, that it really helps promote activity for other people in the family. So I think this is even more true when we think about parents and that modeling of behavior. So I've definitely met kids in our pediatric fitness clinic where the parents tell me they're now more active because of things their kids have learned. And so I think this really is a really vicious cycle, which can be good or bad. So I'd encourage us to step up as role models.
Something we put up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, it was kind of a great resource to share as Wisconsin Nutrition Educators for UW Extension, some people created a book for families in Grant County called Get Active in Grant County. It contains tons of places to go and things for families to do in the county that are free or very inexpensive. For instance, we have over 70 parks in our county. That's a lot. We have given it out to families to use, but it's also online. And we put a link up on my Facebook page. It's just a whole lot easier. Just go to my Facebook page. We'll give you that link. And to me, that's a wonderful idea, Dr. Carroll.
It is. And I think this, you know, UW Extension and the University of Wisconsin are really tremendous resources in this area. And I think obesity has really become a priority issue for the University of Wisconsin. People may be familiar with something called the Wisconsin Partnership Program, which is really trying to fund and promote programs throughout the state that can help communities address health issues. And right now, obesity is sort of their top priority. So this is a great reminder, not only the resources that are out there that we can look for. We could jump in and just Google summer activity kids, and maybe this will come up in terms of Grant County. But also there are opportunities for us to potentially get involved and get resources for our communities.
Isn't Miranda on Facebook said, isn't it true that nutrition is at least as important as staying active, if not more, especially in terms of combating obesity?
No question. So I think, you know, there's no question that activity and nutrition are just as important as the other. I think we've been sort of focusing on activity mostly because we started off the session talking about lower rates of activity over the summer. But there's no question that when we think about health for kids or for adults, there's really an important balance between physical activity and nutrition.
And Jasper in Florence County emails, if your child wants a pet, get a dog and make sure they're responsible for walking it. It is great exercise, and it does teach some responsibility.
That is one of the first things we talk about in our clinic is, do you have a dog? Does that dog need to be walked? Most of them say yes. Well, who's walking the dog? I mean, sometimes it's that simple. It's just finding a starting point, getting them out the door. Once they're out the door, usually things go well.
We have up on my Facebook page some information from you guys, information for parents from UW Health and American Family Children's Hospital, about things that you can that people can do to help get their kids active in the summer and get themselves more active as well. Randy and Aaron, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for the invitation.
Randy Clark is clinical exercise physiologist and manages the UW Health Exercise Science Lab and Pediatric Fitness Clinic. Dr. Aaron Carroll, professor of pediatrics at UW Children's Hospital, specializes in pediatric endocrinology, diabetes, and fitness. And we'll do it again. We'll talk some more about getting fit and staying fit for our children and for ourselves. Tomorrow at 11, Jamie Nack and David Drake from the UW-Madison Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology with us. Summer's a busy time for wildlife, and they'll help us tune into what to look and listen for. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.